The Finance Minister is defending the no-fees scheme for first-year tertiary students despite fewer people taking up the offer than expected. Ahead of this month's budget, Grant Robertson has revealed enrolments in the program have not met initial forecasts, and he's redirecting $200 million of the scheme towards reforming vocational training. The Finance Minister is in our Wellington studio and joins us now. Good morning, Minister.
Morning, Corin.
Has there been an increase in the number of students enrolling as a result of this first-year policy?
So what we were seeing over a trend probably starting in 2012 through to 2017 was declining enrolments. That's been stabilised, and I think that is in some part down to the fact that the fees-free scheme exists. We are in an environment of very low unemployment. When that happens, enrolments, particularly in the polytech sector, tend to drop away. So, there is some evidence that enrolments have stabilised, but that wasn't the only purpose of the
scheme. Just
come
back to my question. Have you actually increased the numbers? Because I get that there's a tight labour market and those things, but you want more people in tertiary education, regardless of the state of the economy, in order to the knowledge economy and this sort of thing. So have you actually increased the numbers or not?
So the evidence we've got is that we stopped a decline. And that decline had been a long-term trend, and that's an important part of being able to say, well, yes, there is an element of this policy that was about getting more people in. But just if I can finish my point, it wasn't the only purpose of the policy. A part of this was about trying to relieve some of the financial burden on people who were going into post-secondary school education and training, and we do know that that's happened. We've got, 30,000 fewer people getting loans for fees. We've got about $190 million saved in terms of student loan borrowing.
Yes, but the problem with that part of the policy, so the bit, you weren't able to give me an answer about whether it's declined or not.
As I've said, we've stopped the decline.
But the part of the policy you're talking about that's a success, which is that it's obviously helping people on lower incomes who are trying to get into tertiary education, but it's also helping people on high incomes who don't need it.
Well, I mean, this is a policy that's designed to ensure that everybody, moves on from secondary school into some form of training and education in their life. It's not just available for school leavers. It's also available for people who have, never studied before, who need to retrain. So it's got a number of different purposes. Tens of thousands of people have benefited from this policy. 50,000 people, to be precise, have benefited from this policy. That is a very, very good thing.
How much did it cost? Is it costing your government for the term in terms of the first-year policy?
So we budgeted for around $1.9 billion over a four-year period, because that's how we do the budgets. But what we're now saying is that there's around about $200 million of that that's no longer required for this policy.
Still spending that money on something else.
So what we're saying is that there is actually a really important need to restructure and revamp our whole system of trade, training, apprenticeships.
Just carry on with
this
line on the money. So $1.7 billion for the four years. If you then go for a second year free, that's another $1.7 billion on top of that. And then you go for a third year, that's another $1.7 billion. That is a huge amount of money, which could deal with a lot of other problems you have got. And I'm thinking child poverty, the fact that you've only implemented 3 out of 42 recommendations of the social welfare report. There is a long list. How can you commit to 2 and 3 years free, the full 3 years free, when you've got those other calls on your money?
Look, it's our policy to extend it out. It's what we campaigned on. This is about a really long-term investment in the future skills of New Zealand. What I hear day in, day out from businesses is they need more skilled staff. We want more people in education. We want underrepresented groups
to be
there.
Are there better ways to do it, though, that aren't universal in that sense?
Well, that is our policy. And obviously, when the time comes for, and we're talking about 2021 and on into 2024 here, so there is time for us to consider the exact way we implement it, but it remains our policy because it is an important part of making sure we prepare our workforce for the future.
Remains our policy, and we'll consider it at the time. These sound like you're setting us up for a change here.
Not particularly. What I'm saying is that, as time moves on, you take a look at every policy we've got and say, is now the right time to implement it? Is this the best way to implement it? One of the things we're learning rapidly about the changing nature of work and education and training is that we do need to offer people lifelong learning. In many ways, that's what this policy is about. You don't need to take it up as a degree course. It can be taken
but
up
you
in
are
chunks.
Acknowledging.
So we will, obviously, when it comes time to implement these policies, take a look at the world we're living in. That's the right thing to do, but it is our policy. We have committed to it, and that hasn't changed.
Okay, so I'm just trying to get a sense. So the door is open to considering getting rid of it.
No, what I'm saying is that, like any policy, when you know it's several years away from being implemented, you take a look at it and say, is it still exactly the right thing to do? How do we best deliver this? Because the nature of the way we're doing training and education changes.
Okay,
and we've got to be ready to be flexible about that. But it is our policy, and that hasn't changed.
How much money have you actually got in this budget? You need more, don't you? You don't have money in the future coming in from a potential capital gains tax. Yes, you found $1 billion, but over 4 years, that's not that much, is it? You've got an allowance, if I'm right, of $2.4 billion. Are you sticking to that for this budget?
Oh, look, all of those things will be revealed on the 30th of May. Clearly, when we're putting together a wellbeing budget, you know, there are a lot of areas that need investment. We've highlighted our priorities: mental health, child wellbeing, adjusting to climate change, improving Māori and Pacifica outcomes. What I have to do is balance that against the importance of making sure that we look after the economy carefully.
But have you got the money in that allowance and the extra bit you've found to be transformational? You don't really, do you? Because it was the last budget where you rolled out your big splurge of cash. You haven't got the money, and a bit of money from that tertiary education money would be quite helpful, wouldn't it?
Look, I'm confident that we're putting out a budget that gets the balance right between the big investments in addressing those issues like mental health and child wellbeing, and making sure that we continue to be careful with the finances in an environment where, you know, the global economy has slowed down, where we do have to acknowledge that, you know, the big economic growth numbers of the previous few years aren't going to be there. We have to be careful about that balance, make sure that we keep our debt levels low so that we are ready.
Is that a sign you're being told by Treasury that that growth isn't looking quite so good?
Well, I'm not going to reveal those growth figures, but, you know, the IMF numbers that came out a month or so ago, New Zealand is ahead of other OECD nations, but clearly the numbers aren't what they were in the past.
The accounts aren't looking too bad, though, and in terms of your debt level, you're tracking well inside your target of 20% net debt GDP. Was it 2022 were you looking for, something like that?
Yeah, look, we see within five years of taking office.
You're forecast to be at 19% at that point, so that gives you quite a bit of wriggle room to borrow more money. Again, wouldn't that allow you to be transformative and perhaps implement some of those changes out of the welfare report?
Look, we were really clear when we campaigned that we would have a slower debt repayment track than the previous government, and that does give us more headroom, and we've had that from the beginning.
Will you use that wriggle room that's there?
Well, we'll get to the budget on the 30th of May, but we are absolutely clear that we need to get the balance right between investing in these long-term challenges that we've got and making sure that we know we're careful with our finances. I'm confident that what we'll put out on the 30th of May gets that balance right.
Well, we see cheaper doctor's visits. That was put off at the last budget because of you couldn't afford it. It's supposed to be phased in. Is that coming this year?
Again, I'm not going to make all those announcements today. We're really pleased by the fact that around 540,000 New Zealanders, in fact, have got cheaper doctor's visits as a result of the changes we made. That was a really important
step. It's a promise for this term, though, isn't it?
Look, it was one of the things that we put out there, and we'll have more to say on the 30th of May around those issues.
All right, just very quickly, can you explain to us why it's taking so long to remove the sanctions on solo mums in terms of naming fathers? It just seems strange. It's only one of the three things you're implementing from that report, yet it doesn't come until April.
Look, I mean, you'd have to ask the Minister of Social Development the detail of that. What I do know is that when we make changes in the benefit system, that requires a significant amount of work behind the scenes. You would have noticed recently we had to make some adjustments to the winter energy payment, which we did bring in and we brought in very quickly. So to get these things right, to make sure we make all the changes that are necessary behind the scenes,
at the start,
does take time. Yeah, and I'm really pleased that we're going to be able to implement it, because it's going to mean a lot to those children and those young families to be able to get that support.
It's not a cost issue that's slowing.
Look, as I say, you would need to talk to Minister Cipollone, but as I say, when it came to the winter energy payment, we had to fix a mistake that got made when we moved quickly. We've got to do this in the right way so the change endures.
Finance Minister Grant Robertson, thank you very much for your time.